And yes, your ears have perked up because you're hearing that music, and then we come on and spoil it for you.
Yeah, we're back.
Of course, this particular program, it's a program we like to call Lawrence and Taylor, and maybe you like to call it that as well, or maybe you like to call us something totally different that we can't share on the air. I'm not sure which.
Or just those guys.
Yeah, those, yeah, whatever, you know. I'm listening because I can't quite reach to do anything about it. But,
I'm having a seizure in my right hand. I can't hit the
That's what buttons. It is. Has to be. But so we got a little show that we're doing today. And let me tell you, there is a lot to talk about. As always, just seems like news keeps happening. I don't know.
You know what? Every just, day.
Yeah.
It's unrelenting.
You don't have one of those days where, you know, you get somebody like Brian Williams coming on and saying, well, guys, you got me. Not much has happened.
And we've got time to kill, and I don't have anything to put in it.
You can just picture, we'll get to that day at some point when Brian Williams is on there. So I'll tell you what, since nothing happened, let me tell you about this great game of rummy we were playing in the newsroom. I tell you, it was great. But we don't have one of those days today because there's a lot to talk about. A little bit later on in the program, and we haven't done this for a few days, we're going to give away some movie tickets again.
Because
we just kind of felt a little more giving.
What movie we sending people to?
This is a little movie called Ride Along.
Ooh, that just came out this week.
Yeah, it just came out last Friday, actually. The premise of the story is a guy proposes to his girlfriend, whose brother is a cop.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm assuming, to scare him off, he takes him on a ride-along. So Ice Cube is the star of this thing, and we're going to be giving that away. And apparently it's something an awful lot of people have enjoyed. It's already doing well at the box office.
Didn't you say $50 million?
Yeah, it's close to $50 million, actually, that it's made. So apparently people are enjoying this thing. And if you're missing out, well, a little later in the program, we'll give you the opportunity to win some tickets because we got four of them.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hang on to them.
We want them in your hands.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that is something to look forward to sometime in the program. We are going to also, a little bit later in the program, because we just don't discuss it enough, Obamacare.
Really?
It's back in the news again and again and
again.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll hash over some things and probably argue about it because we, even though we agree, we totally disagree.
Yes.
So, you know, you'll have to figure out which side we're on that one. Some other things as well. Did you know that Google has a way to track down state by state what people want, what they really, really want? And they do it with autocomplete. You know that thing when you're searching and you type in, you know, like, you know, I'll sit there and type in Kevin and it'll go.
Bacon.
There you go. And, you know, to sit there and try and anticipate, oh, this is what you want.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I've even, and it's somehow it figures out where you are. And if you type in something that's local, it'll go, oh, okay, this is what you want. You don't even have to finish typing. Well, they've got a little
guide. That's like having a wife.
Kind of, yeah. I won't say what else came to my mind. I'll get in trouble for
You're a smart man, Jeremy. Nothing like to, good could come from...
I'd like to stay married and breathing. How about that? So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But one of the things that I find interesting is I'm always into some of these unusual and unique documentaries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about Netflix before. We're almost due for another one of those what are you watching discussions here in another week or so. But one of the things that might very well be on your list, if you're a political junkie, regardless of what party that you you believe and espouse the beliefs of, there's a little documentary coming on Netflix that you might find interesting. And it's called Mitt.
It's about baseball?
No. No, it's not. Actually, it is about Mitt Romney. Apparently, they had someone that had access to it. Well, I'll give you a little taste of just a piece of the trailer that they have out, and then we'll chat about it a little further.
The flipping Mormon.
How did you feel on the stage?
I was dying.
I would not want to do this again.
It's too much.
I have looked, by the way, at what happens to anybody in this country who loses as the nominee of their party. They become a loser for life, all right? No, all right, it's over.
Barack Obama has changed our race. It's changed our prospects.
So there you go. I mean, that's just a little bit of a piece. And the trailer is about 2 minutes long. I didn't want to play all 2 minutes of it here. You just look it up. Actually, it's on YouTube. You can check it out. Or if you're on Netflix, if you just search Mitt, the trailer will come up. So the movie won't come up yet because I guess they're actually releasing it. I don't know if it's Friday or Saturday. I didn't remember what the date was exactly.
I think it was Friday. They talked about it at length this morning on my morning routine, Morning mm-hmm. Joe. Mm-hmm. And actually, it was Joe Scarborough who talked about it the most. Mm-hmm. And I thought what he was saying was interesting. Mm-hmm. If they could make Mitt seem as human and approachable and real mm-hmm. as they did in this show, his quote is, where the hell were his high-paid professionals mm-hmm. back when he was running for office? Why couldn't they make him look this nice?
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because and I've got another point to bring up on that as well, so don't let me forget to do that. But the interesting thing about this is I've been following Mitt Romney since 2008 when he was running for president at that time. And just following his campaign, following what his beliefs were, it was interesting to see the difference between 2008 and 2012, the way that he was portrayed. In 2008, he was kind of like, this is the conservative candidate. This is the guy that you want if you're a conservative. This is the guy that's going to go out there and fight the good fight for us. And then in 2012, it was like, we don't want this guy. He's too liberal,
mm-hmm.
which I couldn't quite figure out where that was coming from, because like some of the same people were saying in 2008, conservative, that were saying, liberal, you don't want him.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing was, I agree, he seemed like in any of these interview situations, if you got to know him, if you dug in a little bit with him, he seemed like a warm, neat guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, regardless of your beliefs on anything, he just seemed like sort of a warm, nice guy, sort of a little bit grandfatherly if his hair wasn't a little too perfect. But it just seemed like a decent guy, but it didn't come across in any of the campaign stuff. It seemed more kind of like, I'm not Barack Obama. You know, that's kind of the way that he came off.
Well, and I think that's a part of it. But they also, his opposition...
Mm-hmm.
took advantage of some of the things he said along the way.
Yeah.
And used that mm-hmm. In some cases, maybe overused it.
Mm-hmm.
But he loaded the gun that he got shot with mm-hmm. on some levels.
Certain times. I mean, the comment that comes to mind is the one where he talked about, I like being able to fire people.
Yeah.
Which I will admit when that happens.
Makes you cringe a little.
It does a little bit. And I knew what was coming with it because I'd heard him say it. But then I started digging into the context of it. At the time, he was talking about when he has someone that's providing a service for him and he finds a better deal, he wants to be able to do business with someone else that's mm-hmm. going to give him a better deal. That makes sense. But the guy came out and said something that was kind of dumb, but then there was no comeback on it to be able to say, okay, yeah, that wasn't the brightest thing in the world. Here's what I meant.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of ways, if you're willing to come out as a politician and say, all right, I messed that one up. Here's what I really meant.
Mm-hmm.
That an awful lot of people will give you a pass on that. I think Bill Clinton taught us that more than anything, because how many times did he step in it? And people still, I mean, to this day, they love him.
Mm-hmm.
They revere him, mostly because he just kind of seems like that neighbor down the street everybody'd like to have.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just something about, I think people are willing to give you a pass if you're willing to be human with them.
But I think some of what happened to Mitt is that comment you just referred to,
mm-hmm.
you learned a little more. You found a context for it.
Sure. I dug into a little more.
For undecided voters, that just sort of confirmed the vague feeling they mm-hmm. had, and they moved on. You know, most people, you and I follow politics like it's a sport,
mm-hmm.
and most people don't.
Sure.
On many levels, neither you nor I are normal.
Oh, what a revelation. Oh, my gosh.
And,
I'm glad I was sitting down for that one, Roger. Thanks.
most people get snippets from mm-hmm. from the news, and they don't look into mm-hmm. it. They don't mm-hmm. put it in context. They just absorb that little sound bite they heard, and that becomes a lasting impression.
One thing that I've said an awful lot, and I've not said it on this show yet, but before it's all said and done, how many years down the line, you'll get tired of me saying it. I will encourage people, dig deeper when you hear something in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Dig deeper. Don't just take my word for it. Don't just take CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox, any of the other news sources. Dig.
Mm-hmm.
And find out, because with the way that the news media is set up now, you've got the liberal side, the conservative side, the moderate side. It's all represented out there, but you got to dig through and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they always say that, you know, there's two sides to every story. In this case, there's probably about five, six, or seven sides to every story. And guess what? The truth is in the middle somewhere. And if you read enough of these accounts, you can go, oh, okay, here's what really happened. And here's what I believe about it. And I think that's the thing that I always encourage people. Dig deep. Mm-hmm. Figure out what's going on for yourself. Don't just take somebody's word for it because you happen to hear a 10-second snippet.
Sometimes I find it helpful to go outside the country mm-hmm. and see what the rest of the world...
Like BBC or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people do that.
And see what the rest of the world is thinking about what's going on here. And they can help you cut through a lot of that clutter, that mm-hmm. noise that's out there. But you're right. You shouldn't accept anything at face value. Mm-hmm. The truth is out there.
It is.
But you got to go find it, and you aren't going to have it delivered to you neat and tidy mm-hmm. in one place every time, consistently, in a way you can trust.
And it's a sad thing, because it used to be that way, really, where it was like, here's the news of the day.
Oh.
But...
if Walter Cronkite had told me the moon was made out of blue cheese, I would have begun to wonder if mm-hmm. the because Walter Cronkite told me that.
Mm-hmm. But now, if you take the word of just one source, and that's why I don't. I mean, I mm-hmm. look at mm-hmm. countless stuff, and I pore over all sorts of stuff just to get ready for this show
mm-hmm.
because I want to know more. I want to know what this is about, all right? Why are they saying what they're saying? And why is that? And you have to do it. And it's sad that we've gotten to that point. But the other point that I wanted to make off of this, I don't know, and this is just from my conservative standpoint, watching Republicans run for office for the last, I don't know how many years, probably ever since Ronald Reagan was in office. When you saw a Republican run for office, what ended up coming out in the media was not the person themselves. I think about when Bob Dole ran for president. And let's face it, Bob Dole was not going to get elected. We all knew it. But think about the Bob Dole that was on your television when he was running for president. Pretty dull, dry, boring. This old guy, basically. I mean, that was the impression you got.
Yeah.
And then after that, he's doing commercials for the Visa check card, Viagra, and he's coming off as this funny, funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, you know, really the same thing with Mitt Romney. There was a lot more there than what people saw. And if you really catch up to him in just one of these unguarded moments, he's just an average guy.
Well, if Al Gore could have been On the election platform, the Al Gore that appeared in Saturday Night Live,
mm-hmm.
He would have done better.
Well, he was always really wooden anyway in public, and I don't know what whether that was him or whether it was something else.
He loosened up and became more natural when he wasn't running for office. And so maybe it isn't just Republicans who suffer from that. Maybe it's politicians aren't taught to be natural.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is run through focus groups. And the politicians, in my mind, become actors on a stage,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
not a naturally occurring person who's running for that office.
Well, if you think about it, even the guys that are really good at it, Bill Clinton is a great example, probably one of the better in public in terms of speaking and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. I mean, he was really driven by what are the polls saying?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that – what are people going to respond to?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lot of his campaign. That was a lot of his presidency,
mm-hmm.
was this sense of what are people going to like? Well, I think I'll just get in front of that and make it look good. You know, I mean, that was Bill Clinton. You didn't get the real guy. You got this creation that – well, let's just create this person that everybody's going to like. And truthfully, he probably is a pretty likable guy. But how do you know?
Yeah. And I think all politicians now, regardless of party, are packaged
mm-hmm.
and sold like their soap
mm-hmm.
On a shelf in a grocery store.
Sure.
They're a commodity. And I don't think one party has their arms around this and the other doesn't. I'm not certain that any of this isn't just selling us a politician.
Could be. Could be. Program continues. If you'd like to take part in the program, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280 as we continue ahead. Program called Lawrence and Taylor. I'm Jeremy Lawrence, and he's Twinkles.
Twinkles, yes. No, Tico Winton.
Of course. How can we forget? I've been trying very hard. But, you know, I got to thinking, too, with this thing of how you're portrayed in the media, how you really are, packaged versus real and that kind of thing. Chris Christie comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, 2016, he was the sure thing for Republicans. Now I'm not so sure. And I think Bob McDonnell has come up on some problems. He was mentioned. So for Republicans, like, all right, who's it going to be? And are they going to be somebody that is real in the media?
Yeah.
I'm just scratching my head on that one. I don't have any clue who they're going to end up picking.
I don't. The jury is out on Chris Christie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the jury is in, even though the trials haven't begun, with the number of indictments on
the former governor
of Virginia. I'm thinking he's got an uphill climb to get any kind of nomination.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to run. Something tells me.
Yeah, you
gut
think?
Feeling.
Just a gut feeling. Huh?
Lawrence and Taylor will continue. Why don't you stay with us? It's Lawrence and Taylor here on 590 WKZO. I'm Lawrence, he's Taylor, and here we are.
And you're you.
Of course. Sadly, you don't get billing in the name of the show.
But you're the important part.
Of course, yes.
Not us.
Without you, we wouldn't have us.
Right.
Well, we would. We just wouldn't be here, I guess. So.
Well, that's true. We'd still be here in the bigger sense.
I guess.
Yes.
Yes.
But in the specific sense.
Taking up celestial space,
yes.
as it were.
But.
So, before we dig back into our topic, Roger, mm-hmm. I understand that you took up celestial space in a very unique place yesterday.
Last week we were talking about where to get good pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And I bemoaned the fact that when I was young, many, 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 many years ago,
mm-hmm.
There was a place called Sir Pizza in Washington Square, and they had, in my recollection, one of the best pizzas I've ever had.
Okay.
And homeboy knows pizza.
Okay.
And we had a listener who lives in Richland and called in and said, it's too far to go get one and bring it back and eat it, but I have them partial bake a pizza,
mm-hmm.
and then I bring it home and I cook it. And there is a Sir Pizza in Battle Creek.
Okay.
And I went there last night, and by gosh, they have good pizza.
Okay. And, I was going to ask if it was as good as you remembered.
Oh, yeah. And I now remember exactly why after eating that pizza last mm-hmm. night. All the ingredients are chopped up into relatively small pieces.
Okay.
And then spread out over it.
Okay.
And so every bite you get the mixture of everything that's on the pizza.
Okay. So you get the full flavor then.
Yeah.
Instead of.
And I got their supreme. And, but it had pepperoni and sausage and green peppers mm-hmm. and onions. And every bite had some of that in it. You know, when you get
sure.
the inch across pepperoni,
mm-hmm.
when you get a piece of pepperoni, that's pretty much all you can taste
sure,
is pepperoni.
You just get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I liked about Sir Pizza. And yes, folks, I tried to convince them to put a store in Kalamazoo. The owner was working last night.
Uh-huh.
And I told him that I had afterwards mm-hmm. that I had come over to test drive their pizza. And I'm already thinking about going over and ordering a couple of pizzas
mm-hmm.
partially baked at a time, coming home, putting them in the freezer, and then baking it when I'm ready to eat one of those.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do that with Lou Malnati's pizza from Chicago,
mm-hmm.
where I'd bring home a couple par-baked and
sure.
then bake them myself. But
now I have to ask this
uh-huh.
when it comes to pizza, because I've seen something develop lately, and I don't know, I'm a little more observant. I don't know if other people have seen this, but have you ever seen, because I can remember growing up, pizzas, they would always do ingredients, toppings a little bit, and then cheese
mm-hmm.
over top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed lately that it's been the reverse.
They
put cheese down, and then they put the toppings on top of the whole
mm-hmm.
bit.
Mm-hmm.
Which side of this are you on? Because I know which way I'm going on that one.
I don't recall seeing cheese on top in years.
Hmm.
Now that you mention it,
mm-hmm.
everything. I can't recall the last pizza I had where the ingredients, other than cheese, weren't on top.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
true of the pizza I had last night.
Sure.
It was all chopped up finely and mm-hmm. evenly distributed. But placed on top. But it was on top of the cheese.
See, no, that's the thing is we actually make pizza at home every now and again. And we will put the cheese on top because I feel like, you know what, the cheese locks that in.
Oh, yeah.
It locks in the flavor of all that good stuff you put on there. And I don't know. I kind of miss that. I don't know many places that do that.
Well, we talked to Bob. Let's have listeners. Is there any place here in town that you know of that when they make a pizza, they put the cheese on top of the ingredients?
It's kind of an unusual thing. And if you haven't noticed, it's totally understandable. But an awful lot of places have switched to the other direction.
Yeah.
I think it's a serious problem. I don't know.
Well, it's certainly a question.
Certainly. Now, another serious problem is apparently not in this area when it comes to weather. We're hearing an awful lot about what's going on in other places. So, Bob, I guess our forecast is a bit more anticlimactic than that, I would think.
Well, let's put it this way. We're sharing the wealth right now.
Okay.
Sharing the wealth.
Yeah.
We're trying to ship some of that snow.
Exactly. We're not alone.
Okay. All right.
But it's cold, Bob.
It is. It is cold, 10 degrees cold is what it is at the airport right now. And it's snowing, albeit lightly. And, boy, it looks a lot like January.
Feels a lot like January.
It sure does. And I wish I could tell you that it was March and it won't last much longer, but it is still January and it will last a while longer. As we've been saying, in all honesty, this is not just a few days worth of very cold weather and or snowy weather. We've got next week to deal with as well, as we're going to be looking at an extended period of very cold weather. If anything, it'll become colder before we head down the road.
Ooh, don't say that, Bob.
Okay, strike that from the record.
Okay. It's not getting colder than now. I mean, it's 13 here.
He's going to be using synonyms if he doesn't say colder. I think we're in trouble regardless.
Oh, you're going to stick to reality-based weather forecasting, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because if Bob was doing what we hoped for, oh, no, it'll be sunny and 70 tomorrow.
Yeah, get out your shorts.
So, Bob, what are we really looking at here in the next couple
of days?
First,
I'll break it down in terms of snow, and then we'll talk temperature. Snowfall-wise, light snow continue as we head into tonight. I think it's primarily just the first part of the night, and we're looking at an inch or so of powdery snow. Another round of snow showers tomorrow into early tomorrow night, maybe another inch. And then I've talked about this for the past few days, it's Friday night into Saturday morning when a more significant clipper comes through, and that's when we could be looking at maybe a few inches worth of snow, whether that's 1 to 3, 2 to 4, something along those lines. Again, Friday night. And then another clipper comes through on an Arctic front with another threat of snow, probably about Sunday into Sunday night, and that could also bring with it at least a few inches. And then we're into the deep freeze after that. Temperature-wise, won't be a great deal of a drop tonight because we'll stay cloudy with the wind out of the south. So about 7, that's 7 above. Mid-teens tomorrow, upper teens on Friday. And by Saturday, maybe even above 20. Then it goes back the other way. Oh, same thing with Sunday. Sunday, I think we're in the 20s. But then it goes back to much colder again as we head into next week. And we'll undoubtedly have some nights going below zero heading into next week.
Yuck.
Yep.
Okay.
That could have been the word.
But what is the word?
The word is continuation.
Okay. All right. See, now
same
in my
old, same old.
In my mind, Bob, I was thinking that the word was going to be Ginsu because the whole forecast is, but wait, there's more.
That's right. That also, I thought you were headed to, it cuts like a knife or something.
Well, with below zero temperatures, that it will.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically the relief we're looking for temperature-wise will come along about April, you think?
Yeah, truth be told, I think we finally dig out of the Arctic grip of this pattern by Super Bowl weekend. I don't see it as a thaw that's coming, but I think we finally shut down the Arctic for a while, and it will be far less cold heading into that weekend, but that's still a week and a half away.
Okay.
I go back to my word for the day, yuck.
That works very definitely, Roger.
Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
Enjoy the pizza.
Oh, thanks.
Okay.
He apparently heard that conversation.
He did. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Bob from AccuWeather there keeping us in the know.
Yeah.
As to how things are going and as we continue ahead. You know, we kind of got off track and talked about pizza, but why not?
Yes.
You got any thoughts about pizza, particularly the cheese on top conspiracy?
Is there any place here in town who does it that way?
382-4280 or 877-382-4280. Lawrence and Taylor continues ahead. I can't help but get that sense that I'm either watching Remember the Titans or a beer commercial or something when I hear this. I don't know why.
Yeah, me too.
It's just got that sense.
Yeah, yep. And it brings back old days. Our sister station, WVFM, mm-hmm. at one time was an alternative rocker.
Mm-hmm.
And that song was a part of their promos that they and so
okay.
It brings back some music in my mind, too.
Music memories.
Yes, WSEO.
There you go.
Now WVFM.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? We're getting some phone calls here.
Ooh, one of them's from Roger.
Yes. Are you calling in again?
Yes. I got my cell phone going.
Well, we'll get with Roger here in a little bit. But first, we'll get with Mike in Kalamazoo. Mike, you're with us.
Good afternoon. Hey, I know Samuel Mancino's in Goebbels still puts cheese on top of everything.
Really?
Hmm.
Yes, and I love it that way.
Yeah.
Does that bother you that all these places are doing it in reverse?
No, not really. It's just that they, as far as I'm concerned, they have the best pizza around.
Okay. All right.
Well, Goebbels is just a hop, skip, and a jump from where I live, so I may have to take yet another journey in a lifelong quest for the perfect pizza.
All right.
Roger seems to be going on these culinary trips, I guess. So thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. So
I have my mission. I know my special purpose.
It's like a culinary safari,
yes,
if you will. He's on the hunt.
Where do I get the best pizza?
Of course. So cheese on top, cheese on bottom. I guess that's the question.
Yeah.
Not sure where that came from, but there it is. And Roger, probably a different Roger from Three Rivers, is joining us. Roger, glad you're on the program. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to comment about the reason why, probably.
Okay.
I would think it would be much more efficient for them to get their pizzas from the factory with the cheese on top, and then they just put whatever they need to on top, so they're not assembling the pizza at the...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, and just from speed, because then that gets it out the door a little faster. They can bake it before you're off the phone.
Sadly, right. My concern is more on quality than profitability. But thanks for the idea, Raj.
No problem.
Thanks.
Okay.
So it's because they're manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, McDonald's argued for a long time that they are not a restaurant. They're a manufacturing facility.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't cook stuff. They assemble food.
Yeah. And by and large, that's true.
Yeah.
I worked at McDonald's for all of a month.
Oh, well.
Before I found other employment. But yeah, it's very much that way. It's more all about the assembly, and everything's got to be perfect.
Yeah. And maybe that's the deal with the pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Raj is right that it's just more profitable to put the cheese on, and then because are there pizzas? You can't have a pizza without cheese, can you? It wouldn't be pizza.
It's done.
Really?
It's done. It's not done widely, but, you know, if you've got somebody who's, say, lactose intolerant and is not on a pill for it one way or another, they will eat pizza without cheese. I think it's weird, but
what holds
but
it
it's
together?
Done.
I mean,
dough,
you just
I suppose.
Have loose ingredients on top of bread.
Now, I've heard about pizza without sauce. I've heard of that done. Interesting. I don't know that I would do it.
That's sacrilege, too. No, both of these concepts offend me.
I know.
You got to have sauce and cheese, or it isn't a pizza. You can have a variety of toppings, but cheese and sauce.
Well, and for me, I even go so far. I'm more of a purist that way because they got some of these places that'll do barbecue sauce.
Oh.
No. No, 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 no,
no, no, no. That's on chicken, but not on pizza.
No, if you're going to have barbecue chicken, just have barbecue chicken.
Have you ever
Don't get the dough involved. You know, this is what
yeah,
I'm saying.
Yeah, leave the bread out. Have you ever been to one of these California pizza kitchens?
No. I've gotten their frozen pizzas, which I'm sure are not near as good, but...
Well, you go in, and I didn't know what to order because they don't sell pizza in the California pizza kitchen.
Wait, with what? Huh? What?
Chicken on? No. No.
Hey, we got Dan from Three Rivers on the line. Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, I really hesitate to argue with Roger because he's always right, but I don't eat any cheese on my pizza. I haven't ever. I just don't care for the cheese.
Hmm. So you have bread, sauce, and ingredients?
That's correct. Yeah, I like for instance, the meat lovers, and I'll order it, you know, with the crust I want and everything just like you would, except I order it with no cheese. And that's just I don't care for it. And you would be surprised how many people order it that way. It's not a rare thing.
Do you have family that eats your taste in pizza, or do you have to bring home regular pizza for others?
Yes, I do. I'm the only one. I'm the oddball, and I'll go out there and I'll order whatever they want, but I'll order all myself a pizza with no cheese.
Boy, that's a way of guaranteeing you get leftovers.
Absolutely. I love cold pizza the next morning, even without cheese.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, Dan,
thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, guy.
Mm-hmm. All right. So there actually is somebody out there. You know, I got to say, if you're going to do it and get no cheese on your pizza, meat lovers is probably the way to go.
Yeah.
If you're
going
to do something, you get that with the pepperoni and the sausage and beef and whatever else. You know, bacon. Well, bacon is a great thing on pizza, but
as he described it, I can understand a cheeseless pizza.
Mm-hmm.
It was the combination of no cheese, no sauce that
well, no, and I wouldn't necessarily do no cheese, no sauce, but I've heard of no sauce, but here's all the toppings and cheese on top of it.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm the purist. Give me sauce. Give me toppings, lots of them, and cheese to lock it all in. That's just and maybe I'm just totally nuts for even wanting that that way, but I'm pretty particular.
But we found out that Mancino's and Goebbels does it that way.
Hmm.
The Mancino's in Matawan does not. I know because I've had pizza from there.
Okay.
And so that Mancino's doesn't do it the Goebbels way.
There you go. So I have to go a certain spot to get it.
Goebbels.
All right. Let's check in with Jim. He's in Vicksburg. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I definitely am a toppings on top kind of person. So I like a little bit of sauce, cheese, and then the toppings.
Oh, okay. You'd rather have them on top of everything.
Yeah. So. Right. I think they cook a little better if they're on top.
Maybe that's it. Maybe there's, from the cook's perspective, there's a difference. Interesting.
Okay.
Do you know of any place that you have to tell them, I want the ingredients on top?
No, the only place that I can, or the only type of pizza that I can think of with the cheese on top is like maybe some kind of a deep dish pizza. I was thinking as you folks were talking about it, I've always seen the toppings on top. I think that's why they're called toppings.
Ooh, there he goes being logical on us.
There you go. Come on. Logic? Gosh.
Yeah, they don't call them bottoms, do they? It's toppings.
Just my thought.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Jim.
All right, thanks, Jim.
That's why they call them toppings.
See, he's got a view on that, no matter how misguided. I got to give him a rough time.
Yeah.
So. Sorry about that, Jim, but... But I believe the other way. Hey, let's check in with Tom real quick here in the time we got left. Tom, you're in Kalamazoo, and you're on with Lawrence and Taylor.
There's a couple pizza places in the Kalamazoo area that do have the cheese on top. One is Godfather's over on Cork.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's delicious. Oh, my goodness.
Is that how they do pizza, or do you have to ask for it that way?
Oh, no, that's how they do it.
Oh, okay.
And by the way, you talked about having everything finely chopped. That's the way Godfather's Pizza is.
Oh, really?
So they chop it up and then they put the cheese on top. Okay.
Yeah, they chop everything up fine, and my goodness, is it good.
It really is. I was blown away by the pizza last night. Godfather's. Yeah. I may have to try that.
Okay, and Tom, you mentioned another place.
Another one is Jasper's down on Sprinkle.
Okay.
Where on Sprinkle?
Across from the airport.
Okay. Okay.
And there's another place that does pizza a different way in Bangor, which is near where I live. They do the toppings. They put cheese over the top, but if you have pepperoni in it, they will cook the pizza, and then when the pizza's done, they put the pepperoni on top and let the heat of the pizza wilt the pepperoni.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. Hey, thanks for sharing, Tom.
Yep.
All right. Well, that takes us to the end of an hour, but you know what? Don't sweat it. We'll be back with you with even more.
Maybe not pizza, but
well,
more.
Probably not.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.